This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
Well, hello, and welcome to What's Brewing 2, the game review. UCLA loses to Cal in tragic fashion. What was the score? I don't even know. Like 30-something. 7. 33-7. Jeez, how much fun was that? Just get it over with and play it.
Sometimes it's hard to be a Bruin. Giving all your love to just one team.
Yeah, I was really bummed before the game started that I wasn't able to go to the game. It was going to be the only time, really, that Megan, my daughter, who goes to Berkeley, and I could go to a UCLA Cal game anytime for the foreseeable future, and certainly the only time that we could go when she was a student at Berkeley. And we couldn't go because we ended up getting sick after Thanksgiving. You can probably hear it in my voice right now. Sorry if I end up coughing into the mic at any point. I'll try to cut all those. But yeah, we had to cancel going to the game. I gave some of my friends that we went to UCLA with as students, and turns out it was a blessing because I can't imagine going to this game and sitting there at the Rose Bowl watching this just absolute abject disaster. And in fact, the last two games of the Rose Bowls have been just absolute disasters. You know, Arizona State and now Cal. Both games absolutely like being at the dentist office, right? Feel free to spit this one out of your mouth. Just absolutely brutal. And it really does sum up what we have come to feel as the Chip Kelly era as a whole, right? It's the title of the show, and it really is emblematic of what the program is at this point. It is just wildly mediocre. Meaning that we have these wild swings in belief, wild swings in disappointment, but at the end of it, it all just kind of ends up right in the middle, back to 34-34. How many times has Chip Kelly been 500 in his career with the Bruins? Well, let's see. We all remember the first 3 years, those wonderful years that started 10-21, and then he gradually started digging his way out of that hole with the Bruins, starting in 2021. Well, last year, 2022, when the Bruins beat Arizona State at Arizona State 50-36 on November 5th, the Bruins were 8-1 on the season last year, and Chip Kelly was finally at the 500 mark as the head coach of UCLA. At that point, Chip Kelly's Bruins were 26-26. Okay, so here we are, 16 games later, and Chip Kelly is once again 500 over that stretch. On September 26th of this year, after the Utah loss, I wrote that Kelly needed to find a way to get unstuck from 500. And I think we all thought that he would be able to do that, you know, at least those of us with a little more rosier disposition, but it has not happened. Just like last year, the Bruins are crumbling to end the season. Just like last year, the Bruins are losing games that they really have no business losing. And I point last year to, you know, they lost three of the last four games of last year, the inexcusable ones being Arizona at the Rose Bowl and the Pittsburgh game, and then they also lose that tough game to SC. You know, and but if you take the whole end of the season, they finished 3-4 to end the season, and now this year they have lost now three of the last four games of the regular season. The one notable exception being the wonderful win against SC, but that is sandwiched by two pretty inexplicable losses. 17-7 against an Arizona State team that lost by 50 points like 2 weeks in a row. And then this absolutely lifeless performance against the Golden Bears, which if you'd have told me they would have lost to the Golden Bears, you know, that would have been bad enough. But they absolutely got stomped in this game for because the entire team basically melted down. You know, first, it, you know, we'll get to the game in a moment, but this is just about as embarrassing of a loss on senior day in the season finale at the Rose Bowl when you're trying to get fans out there to go on the Rose Bowl field. Oh, don't even get me started on that. I'll get around to that in a minute too. But it really is just as embarrassing as it gets. It really is a shame.
Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame. Shame.
And that really is the shame of the Chip Kelly era. And it's really what I will believe as long as this era goes on. And if it does come to an end, that's how I'll characterize it. And, you know, a lot of people will say that, oh, Chip Kelly didn't recruit. Chip Kelly didn't have the players. Chip Kelly was lazy about all this stuff. And that's not really, I don't think that's emblematic of his program at UCLA. The hallmark of it is losing games, winnable games, games that you had no business losing to teams that were wildly inferior, right? That's really where the sticking point is. Arizona and Pittsburgh last year were not more talented than the Bruins. Arizona and Pittsburgh last year did not have any advantages over the Bruins, and yet they found ways to lose those games. This year, Arizona State and Cal had no business beating the Bruins if you look at the players that roll out there onto the field. And yet they not only find a way to beat them, they completely suffocate the Bruins in both games. 14 combined points over two games. You probably can say the same thing about Utah on the road this year as well. That was a wildly undermanned team going up against the Bruins, and the Bruins still managed to only score 7 points in that game and not get the victory. And to me, that's where it all goes sideways for Kelly. If they are winning those games, then maybe you still have a few boo birds out there talking about how they can't beat the creme de la creme of the conference or, you know, and all that, but they're still doing plenty enough to justify moving forward with this regime. But you can't say that at this point. This is just untenable at this point, isn't it? You would think it is. I sure as heck know I don't want to spend the next 9 months talking about what the future holds for the Chip Kelly era at UCLA football, but that might be the boat that we're in. Who the heck knows? You know, and this coincides with the very bad timing of UCLA seemingly allowing Jonathan Smith to slip through their fingers, if that was a coach that you were interested in, because he signs at Michigan State hours after losing the Civil War up there. And it appears that, you know, that's a guy that they probably couldn't have gotten, right? A local guy with local ties doing more with less up in Corvallis, as it seems like Chip continues to do less with more, pardon the pun, here in Westwood. But I suppose we should get to this game. Recap quickly. It's not going to take long. It was absolutely dreadful. And I really don't want to talk about it too much, but let's do it.
The worst.
The worst in the world.
I honestly don't care.
I don't think anybody cares about UCLA football.
I lost my mojo.
What a shame.
Bad football. Bad football.
All right, so the Bruins lose this 33-7, but it really was lost in the first half. When they go into the locker room at 20-7, there really was no hope for the Bruins, I don't think, just based on how everything laid out. The defense was still playing hard in the second half, early in the third quarter, but, you know, eventually they, you know, the UCLA offense not being able to score, the UCLA special teams completely melting down repeatedly, just took the life out of the defense, and eventually the Cal was able to break through, and eventually the defense succumbed as well. So this was a game where all three phases, you know, eventually let the Bruins down. But I want to say that in a way in which the defense has almost no blame for losing this game, because they're the reason that it wasn't, you know, 45-7, really, because the defense played well in this game. The defense definitely played well enough to win, and the Bruins should have won this game. And it's hard to say that about a game when you lose 33-7, but it was just a train wreck. The Bruins outpossessed the Golden Bears 17-12 in the first half, and that tells you how much the defense for the Bruins is on the field in the second half, because time possession ended up even in this game, almost dead even, 30-01 to 29-59. But what really is there to say? The Cal offense did a relatively not a whole lot, except for when they were gifted field position in this game in the first half. In the second half, they started driving, but like I said, that was after the defense had been out there way too long and the game was way too hopeless. But you're not going to win a game in which you miss a field goal, you allow a return for a touchdown to Jay Knott, you misplay a couple punts that put your offense inside the 10-yard line, you allow your quarterback to get murdered on a pass play, fumbles the ball, gives Cal the opportunity to go up 27 going to the half, and then you come out in the second half and a little bit more of the same. You throw an interception, and you misplay punts again, and you finish it off by fumbling a kickoff. I mean, we don't need to catalog it anymore. This was a total disaster on special teams, a total disaster on offense, and eventually that led to the defense finally giving way in the fourth quarter of this game. It's a total shame. You know, you think about how could this team be the same team as the team that played SC last week? And you say, well, how could that team that played SC be the same team that played ASU the week before? And that is a microcosm of the Chip Kelly era, right? That's what it is right there. Wild swings that end up settling right in the middle, because that's where we are.
Do you not believe in saying what you think?
No, I'm very much against it. Thinking aloud is a habit responsible for much of mankind's misery.
Take that, UCLA football cynics.
I mean, it's all about the hate watch now, right? It's about the hate like, the hate follow, the hate hate. People really miss public executions.
Talking about UCLA isn't easy.
All right, well, this week's baller segment is not going to be related to the game so much as it is just going to be a million Bruins walked for senior day, and whether that means they will not come back or they will is up in the air, really, at this point. Chip kind of addressed it in his post-game conference as well. But a lot of dudes walked. It's a long, long list. So they all are Bruin ballers, and we do appreciate them. And we are. I will be sad to see all these guys go. You know, for as much or as little as they contributed on the field, we do appreciate them playing for the Bruins. And some of these guys are super ballers.
Just a baller, man.
And some of these guys maybe haven't heard their name too much, but still all ballers, and we appreciate you guys, and congratulations on walking during...
He's just a baller, man.
...senior day, as bad as that game was. But let's get on to the list. In no particular order, except for number one on the list, has to be Liatu Latu.
Straight baller.
Ethan Garbers. Very sad to see him get injured in that last game. We'll see what the future holds for him. Jordan Anderson. Cam Brown. Kenny Churchwell. Michael Churchich.
Just a baller, man.
Duke Clemens, Ryan Cragen, Bo Gardner, Hudson Habermill.
He's just a baller, man.
Sidoveni Kafusi, Jake Heimlicher, Alex Johnson. God, he gave a great press conference up there with Dante Moore today. Kadir Kunta, all you guys.
Straight baller.
Carl Jones, I'll be very sad to see you go. Brian Colwell, Ari Libinson, RJ Lopez, Logan Loya, David Magna, Kane Medrano, Darius Muasau.
A baller, man.
The Murphy twins, Gabriel and Grayson, Grant Norberg, Josiah Norwood, Will Powers, Bradley Schlam.
Just a baller, man.
Joshua Smith, Caleb Tulialu, John Vons, Colson Yankoff, and Devontae Dillard.
Straight baller.
We appreciate your guys' service to the Bruins. We appreciate looking at you in the powder blue and gold, and good luck to you if you are, in fact, moving on from UCLA football. You guys are all ballers. We love you all.
Just a baller, man.
I despise UCLA.
Well, I'm sorry, all right.
Oh, my God, my guys suck balls. You know it.
If I suck balls, you are king of suck balls, Mountain.
Your entire life has prepared you to publicly fail. You're just failing to see that right now.
Well, getting into the coach's corner a little bit, really the only thing I want to talk about is Dante Moore. And the game plan that Chip kind of employed once Moore was in the game. Garbers get injured on the first drive. Moore comes in immediately, throws an interception, and then it was Moore's game after that for the entire game. So, and on one hand, I guess this is a good thing. We get a little more data on how ready Moore is or Moore isn't. And I think after this game, you'd have to say that he certainly isn't quite ready for prime time yet, despite what we saw way back in the non-con. This combined with the other Pac-12 conferences games that he played this year, and even according to him in the post-game conference, he was just talking about how he's just not caught up with the speed of the game, and it definitely seems like that. There were plays out there where he just didn't seem to have any feel for the rush that was coming after him. I'm thinking about the fumble that he had late in the first half where he's just kind of standing there like a statue and just gets blindsided. Now, a part of that is certainly the offensive line just getting beat on the play and the guy just crushing him. But I think it's also clear that he does lack a certain feel for what the pocket is and what's going on out there as he's trying to look through his reads and make plays. Right, he is still missing something out there, and I think it does have to do with adjusting to the speed of the game. So I think that was an honest answer from him when he's talking about that. But really where my problem comes from all this is just the deployment of Dante and the rest of the Bruins on offense. It just doesn't make any sense to me how Chip has done it this year, and it feels like they have strengths running the ball. It feels like that is where they always have had kind of an advantage. And Cal doesn't have a terrible run defense, but they don't have a great run defense either. And it also just feels like to me that the best way to protect your young quarterback who maybe doesn't have quite the feel for things and who maybe is adjusting to the speed of the game is to take the game a little bit out of his hand and quite frankly, ask him to do the same thing you're asking Garbers to do, and that is just kind of be a game manager at that point and not try to make a bunch of plays down the field. But in the first half, and once again, this is the first half where the Bruins had the ball for 17 minutes of the 30 minutes of the first half. By my count, and this might be give or take a couple, but they passed the ball a lot more than they ran the ball, and that was on purpose. And to me, that is really just it's unexplainable. Yeah, I tweeted at the end of the first half that the Bruins had called somewhere in the neighborhood of 27 pass calls to 14 runs, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. And this is kind of the same thing I thought about the Utah game and the Oregon State game as well. And it's not like the offense is putting up, 21 points, but then also having like three or four turnovers. They are getting crushed, right? They're not scoring any points. They're not manufacturing any points at all. And so if you're going to do that, you might as well do it three yards in a cloud of dust as the worst case scenario, as opposed to the worst case scenario being you're just gifting the ball to your opponent with amazing field position, right? The one thing the Bruins were able to do in this game was actually get a punt off, and it really wouldn't have hurt them nearly as bad if they – and by the way, that's the worst case scenario. I think if they would have really tried to find – ways to run the ball, they would have been successful enough and they would have been able to grind out some drives. Now, it doesn't help you that you can't make a field goal inside of, 20 yards. That's another giant critical failure of the Chip Kelly's team this year. But beyond that, at the very least, you're not handing the ball to Cal in plus territory and, hoping that your defense is going to hold up, which it eventually did not. But there were a few plays when Dante Moore actually looked good. And by the way, I think those were the plays where he ends up in play action. He ends up able to kind of roll out of the pocket naturally and make a play down the field. And the one thing about Dante Moore is that he isn't, or he hasn't been up to this point, afraid to try to make plays downfield, but he just hasn't been in situations to allow him to do it in this game. And I think during the conference play. And that is really frustrating to me. I mean, I think that if Chip could go back and do it again, that would have been the way to go. If you're going to be playing Dante Moore, you really have to kind of put blinders on him to a degree and really don't try to take too many chances until it really is set up very well with a strong running game. And that might be running the ball twice for every time you throw it, whatever it is. But to me, that is, and it's kind of like you'll get fewer passes off, but you're going to get big plays down the field as opposed to trying to just open everything up by throwing the ball all around the field and just putting yourself into negative situations, but bad third downs, things like that. They missed that fourth and one early in the game out of the T formation, and that obviously that play sucked, but it wasn't a bad call in my opinion. It was better than just what he'd normally been doing in fourth and one, and that's just diving it right into the middle. But it just seems like that has been the failure this year, is that with Moore there at quarterback, Chip has just been determined to like run his stuff and do it like he envisioned it right from the get-go, and it just never quite worked out, and it really has been a square peg in a round hole. three of the Bruins' losses this year have been games in which they've only scored 7 points and a fourth at which they only scored 10. And I think that in all of those games, to one degree or another, it has been games where towards the end of the game, you have not managed to manufacture, you know, the even any points at all. It's just been completely hopeless on offense. And eventually the defense succumbs, right? If you are playing a more complementary style, you are going to be in better positions to grind these games out. But it's hard to play a complementary style to your great defense when your offense is just turning the ball over at a ridiculous rate, and most of those are interceptions, and then you have a special teams that cannot make a field goal. I mean, that's it right there, right? Now, I don't know if it's possible to fix your field goal situation midway through the season. I think that's just kind of the die is cast when you roll into the season with who you're rolling into the season with. And I feel so bad for him missing those kicks. I really do. It's really hard to watch that. But as far as your style of offense and the pace you play at and the decisions you make and what you choose to call, that's stuff that you can adjust to. And there just wasn't any adjustment throughout the season. It really didn't seem like there was any to me. And, you know, the thing I hate bringing up again and again is the Kenny Dillingham adjustment to his game plan coming into that game at the Rose Bowl a couple weeks ago. He was trying everything to try to manufacture something to get his team an edge to win. And it didn't work that well, but it worked well enough. You know, and that's really where we're at with the Bruins. It really doesn't seem like Kelly wanted to modify really anything that he was doing throughout this season. And I think it really cost them in these games where they can't put up any points. So, you know, going forward, it's kind of unclear what they're going to do. It seems like Chip got the vote of confidence going into the SC game, and they certainly laid it on thick coming out of the SC game to where, you know, you wouldn't think that losing to Cal would matter that much. But then again, you weren't expecting them to get absolutely curb stomped by Cal in an absolutely, you know, back-to-back, listless, horrible, lifeless performances at the Rose Bowl. You know, that's just, it's hard to watch. And I can't imagine if you're sitting there and involved in the UCLA decision-making process that this is going to sit well with you, but who knows? You know, maybe they're committed to it, and that's what it is. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. It certainly does seem like there's enough ammunition to make a change, but it's been like that for, you know, a couple weeks now. And if they do decide to make a change, of course, depending on who the hire is, until that person gets a chance to prove themselves on the field, it will be a long off season of lamenting the timing of it, because of course the guy that everybody wanted went is joining you in the Big Ten, Michigan State. So you can't get away from a lot of these personalities that they're all kind of following us to the Big Ten as well. But I guess we'll have to see. All right, I only have so much patience for this, as do all of you. So let's just get on to the listener calls, of which there are a lot of. And I want to thank you guys for supporting the show and calling in.
It's Leo from the library. It's the fourth quarter. We're down 30-7. It's funny. I could see this coming, like from the beginning of the game. But I was listening to you guys before the game, your last podcast. And I probably wasn't as down as maybe Bill was, but I could see where he was coming from. And then now, like, you could see like from the first drive, we weren't ready to play. You know, like, you know, if some things broke our way, maybe, but like this, none of this is surprising. It's just, you know, it's the game after SC. It's, you know, we didn't have anything to play for, and like, none of this is surprising. The fact that we just came out and took a big giant shit on the field in our last game in the Rose Bowl, you know, for the Pac-12, that like this is kind of, these last two games is kind of the whole era in a nutshell. Like, I wish Chip Kelly would be fired, but I don't think he's going to. I just think this is what the administration is going to subject us to. I haven't enjoyed football in years. I mean, you know, it's been fun here and there, but this is why I talk about the Olympic sports, is because I enjoy watching those teams. They're in good hands. You know, they're coached well, and you know, I like the players. I like certain aspects of the program. I like that they're well fed, but, you know, ultimately, this is what we get, you know, and no one's going to give a shit. And we're going to get a bunch of Big Ten money, and we're going to be fucking Rutgers. Anyway, I'll come back with an Olympic sports report because some of those teams impressed me this weekend. All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you very much, Leo, the library guy. And I think you're right. The last three games, I would say three games, really encompass the Chip Kelly era, right? The wildly disappointing losses with the big win that makes us all feel good. And is that enough? I don't know. Is it enough for this administration to keep him? I don't know. It kind of feels like all the rest of us are pretty depressed by all this. But it's kind of out of our hands, so I guess we'll have to see. At least Leo spends his time worrying about the Olympic sports. We actually gets a little bit of joy out of him. You know, we've spent our time really, for the most part, with the What's Bruin Show covering football for the last decade. And this is where it's got us. Gee whiz. That's a depressing thought. This is the worst possible timeline. It's really getting there and getting there quick.
Hey, guys. It's Mark from Burbank calling, I don't know, a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Doesn't really matter. Hey, I just got to say, you know, despite all of his faults, you got to admit that Chip is a very generous guy. You know, UCLA has to pay the Bears money here, I guess, every year for leaving them behind to join the Big Ten. But instead of just paying that calimony, you know, that's not enough for Chip. Chip was a generous man. He wanted to gift the Bears a bowl appearance, too, for this season. Found to be bowl eligible. And hey, the game, you know, it was a great recap of our whole season. It had all of our greatest hits. There's the interception in the end zone, fumbling the ball deep in our own territory, missing field goals. But that's not enough. Chip added in a bonus this time. We found new ways to be utterly, utterly atrocious on special teams with, you know, the kickoff return for a touchdown and fumbling a kickoff return, just complete disaster top to bottom on a team that just absolutely pissed away a great defense. You know, we could go on, and I'm sure lots of people will go on and on about Chip and everything that happened, but what a disappointing end to a disappointing season. And I mean, I do hope we get to go to a good bowl game or whatever good is for a team like us, and we can win it just to go out on a good note, because this team and these players deserve that, especially all the seniors and the great defense we had. But man, just what a horrible way to end the season, to end the Pac-12, just getting our butts kicked by Cal. So some days hard to be a Bruin, boys. This is one of them.
You are indeed right about that, my man, and yeah, it sucks. You're right. This is just was an absolute total meltdown in all areas for the season finale. And as far as like a bowl games goes, you know, they're going to go to some bowl game that we're not going to be excited about. And honestly, like if it weren't for the practices they are allowed to get extra as part of the bowl game, I would just say, you know, screw it, not even bother. But you know, that's not the way it's going to go, and they are going to play it. And I wouldn't be surprised based on, you know, who's coming back and who's not coming back and what the motivation is to actually play in the bowl game if we look more like the Pittsburgh squad that we lost to last year where you had almost nobody playing in that game. I'm real curious to see, like, who will actually play in a bowl game for us in mid-December, because that's probably when we're playing. And it will be a relatively unexciting matchup in a relatively meaningless game. And we'll see if we still have the current regime or it's morphed into something else. All that remains to be seen, I guess. But just a depressing way to end the year for sure. But thanks for calling. Who's next?
Hey, guys. So, you know, this is Des from Santa Clarita. And I would be angry, but, you know, it is what it is. Dante is not ready. He should have sat at the beginning of the season, and Dickie did make a great point. You know, at a conference, Dante looked like a world beater, like a killer. Like he was going to come in and drop dimes all over the place. But once the conference play started, it's been a completely different story, that makes no sense. I mean, maybe defenses, you know, and, you know, the defensive coordinators get paid to scout and come up with game plans, but the kid just, I have no clue. And also the offensive line didn't help either. I don't know if we lost a starting offensive lineman, but whoever was 53 that ended up getting hurt, you know, he kept getting beat, which was like Dante's blind side. But be that as it may, it really proves a point that I said in the game or in the chat and something that I've been thinking this entire time. Kelly's offenses have pretty much thrived on guys who can also run, not being that that's their first choice, but guys who can take off when need be to get the yards that's needed. Dante's not that guy right now. He's a statue. He's a pocket quarterback through and through. And if he doesn't change that, he's going to get hurt seriously down the road. But anyway, going into the Big Ten with Chip, and I think that will be his demise. Go Bruins.
Thanks, Des, for the call. No, I think you're getting at something, right? Dante looked so good in the preseason, and then he looked so bad in the conference season. But there's got to be some sort of way to have brought him along to allow him to be a little bit more successful. And I just don't think there was any adjustments from Chip in regards to Dante, you know, when he was out there. And that is a problem, right? So whether you think they should have started Garbers from the get-go, but there's nothing to indicate that Garbers could have made it through the season. I mean, he could barely make it through an entire game for the Bruins this year. And that doesn't just necessarily fall back on his durability, but on the team's ability to protect him, right? And you saw some of the hits these guys are taking, and that's not good either. And once again, it goes back to, you know, you are trying to run this offense where you are opening things up via throwing the ball when you probably should be going at it the other way. And I think that's just a fundamental problem with this year's offense and the approach to the offense. And there's not just too much else to say about it. I know also Dez on the Slack was asking, you know, why Chase isn't out there. And Kelly said in his postgame that, you know, he just decided not to put anybody else in there. He decided to let Dante roll with it. And, you know, on one hand, you could see why you wouldn't make a change because Dante is the only one that is, you know, other than, you know, like him or Chase Griffin, Dante is the one that theoretically could come back. And so you're letting him get more game experience in a game that really, you know, it's very meaningful for us as Bruin fans watching the game and not wanting him to get stomped by Cal in their last game at the Rose Bowl and last game of the Pac-12. But the game really doesn't mean that much. There's no real stakes in the game. So it's like, well, you know, we all see, we remember how Chip treated the non-con his first couple of years. Really didn't care about taking those L's there. So maybe that he kind of got into that mind frame with us as well. It's like, it's a game that, you know, if he really feels secure in his job, he doesn't really need to win it. So he might as well just tinker around a little bit more. And that's what we got, you know, in this game that was already sideways because of what a disaster special teams was. So he's like, oh, well, whatever. Well, more experience. But it certainly wasn't fun to watch. Ugh.
Fire Chip Kelly. Fire Chip Kelly.
Well, I don't really need to say too much to that, right? Duly noted is all I can say.
Okay, Dez calling in for the second time. Still frustrated from the loss. And doing a morning walk and ran into another Bruins fan, an actual alum. And the first words out of his mouth was, Chip gotta go. You know, it sucks, but it's true. And even though after going to the you know, USC game and watching that play out to this week, and in fairness, if Ethan stays in the game, doesn't get hurt, we're looking at a completely different game. But he got hurt, and then there was a drop-off in quarterback play. And that's taking anything away from Dante. He is a great quarterback, but he's not great for right now. And really what this season boils down to is quarterback play. I mean, offensive line, yes, that was the problem in a sense. What it really boils down to is quarterback play. And for a team with a deep room who couldn't pick an actual starter and a second string and a third string, it's really tough. But I don't think Chip Kelly was ever considered a quarterback guru. He was more or less considered a offensive guru.
But to not be able to pick the right guy because some guy was great in practice, but yet couldn't, you know, figure it out during conference play is two different things. So does Chip Kelly need to be fired? Yes. Unfortunately, yes, he does. We shouldn't cry for his Argentina because he's going to walk away with a lot of money. But at the end of the day, a lot of this falls on his head. He could have done a way better job than what he did. And he unfortunately did. But the question becomes next year, what happens when this happens again? If Ethan sticks around, Ethan makes it to a certain point and gets hurt, then what happens? Do we throw in more again? Does more get better? Hopefully. I mean, who knows? But anywho, coming up on my 3 minutes. So just want to say, have a great Sunday. Hopefully your NFL team does better and go Bruins.
Thanks again, Dez. You know, he loves to call the show and I appreciate him for doing that. The more I think about this season, the more I'm kind of convinced that they didn't really have the quarterback they needed for this year, regardless of who you would have picked. Although I will say that if Garbers plays against ASU and Cal, I think those are victories. So I guess, yeah, that would give us a much more satisfied feeling about this season, just getting those games that you couldn't, you know, that you couldn't lose, right? The ASU and the California game. But I don't think Garbers would have been able to beat Arizona or Oregon State just because of how limited he is throwing the ball down the field. But certainly would have been better than what we had here. And I don't know. It's tough. Both Garbers and Moore can come back, but I'd say at this point it's a coin flip as to whether either of them come back. So then where does that leave the Bruins? I will be very curious to see. But it all remains to be seen.
Hey, guys, thanks for all that you do. At least it's comforting knowing that you're not suffering alone. Mike from New Jersey. I have a little YouTube channel where my son and I, Nick and Mike, we post little mimic videos about UCLA. We follow them and make videos pre and post game. Yesterday, I went to a Rutgers football game, Rutgers and Maryland. So my son and I went to see Rutgers. I know this is a UCLA podcast, so bear with me. There's a reason I'm bringing this up. So we went to the game, being that we're from Jersey. You know, had we if we were living in California, we would go to the games. But this is the best we can do to enjoy college football in New Jersey. So we went to the game, and one thing I instantly noticed, and I got real sad, UCLA is going to have a very, very difficult time playing at Rutgers next year. And I will be so embarrassed as a fan if they struggle against Rutgers. And Rutgers actually has a beautiful stadium, by the way, just to let you know. You're going to have a good time when you're there. I have never been so disheartened to be a Bruin fan in my life. My whole life, ever since I was a child, when I seen them, you know, go to the Rose Bowl, go to the Cotton Bowl, go to the Rose Bowl, even under Toledo in the first few years, you know, they were beating good teams. Like, they had something deep in them that resembled a good football team. And at the line of scrimmage, man, were they mean bastards. They were just tough as nails. I mean, they would push around Alabama and Michigan on the line of scrimmage. That is lost. During those years, I had hope watching them that they would get back to the Rose Bowl, that they would compete and stuff. I no longer feel that. And I'm usually like a very positive UCLA fan. I'm a glass half full sort of fan when it comes to them. I can no longer be. And I chalk it up to UCLA is just not a serious football program. They do not care about football. I think Dan Guerrero made losing comfortable. I was a wrestler most of my life. One of the worst things a wrestler can do or a fighter is get used to being complacent. And, you know, losing is contagious. When you do it often enough, you become a loser. Yet they're losing continually and they become accustomed to it. They don't hate losing. I casually made a snarky remark on Twitter saying, well, just hire Urban Meyer. Now, do I think it would be a good idea? I don't know. Here's the thing, though. You need to hire a coach with that sort of heart. Here's the thing. The man absolutely hates losing. I'm not okay with losing any games. I want to win every game. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing a coach, yeah, we're just focused on, you know, just this week and playing a good Cal team. Cal's not good. That's a game we should win, and that's it. They set the bar so low, and it's a shame. Our beloved football team has the mentality of losers because Dan Guerrero allowed this terrible way to go for too long. I'm completely disgusted. All of this nonsense with football makes me love the Bruin basketball team and Nick Cronin all the more. How those young guys play so hard. I really hope to God that Nick Cronin and UCLA can get it. Nick Cronin needs a national championship for UCLA. And with his work ethic, can you see him not doing it? Can you see him not getting multiple national championships by the time his year is done, by the time is done at UCLA? I don't know. Sorry to talk about football, but I mean, like, but really, we're going to go to a Cheez-It Bowl against Wyoming and then probably lose an ugly game. I mean, it's ridiculous. Coach has got to go. Water takes the shape of its container, and we have a deformed, leaky container. Okay. Sometimes you can add stuff to the water. The bowl is broke. You got to get a new bowl. Yeah, I'm just really upset. And what stinks is my little boy cannot enjoy good football, watching his favorite team play good football. So it is what it is. I'm looking forward to hearing you guys the next podcast. So keep doing what you're doing. Fours up, Trojans down. Later.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate the call, and good luck with your YouTube channel, you and the boy. It sounds like me and you grew up as Bruin football fans around the same era, because I was in school during the Cape McNown era, and I remember the end of the Toledo, or end of Donahue going into Toledo, and what great times those were. And then as soon as we hit pretty much the year 2000, the kind of the slow fade into oblivion, and you know, one decent Durrell year, a few good years under Mora, and that's been that. And this Aaron DeKelly has really been defined as, you know, they finally have put together a couple decent seasons, I would say, but still woefully underachieving, right? Losing three of the last four in each of the last two seasons to end the year is not going to get it done. I will differ from you on like what the aim of the program was, because I think when they hired Kelly, they were making a statement there, but it hasn't worked out. And it's like, how you can't just live off that until the end of time, right? Yeah, you tried to make a great hire, and it should have been a great hire, but it's turned out not to be a great hire. So what are you going to do next? The last time you made a coaching hire, it was a big swing. Let's hope that you keep that in mind. This is, of course, a different administration, Jarmond versus Guerrero. But when he does decide to pull the trigger, you would hope that they're still trying to elevate the program. They tried to, and it failed miserably. So you hope they're not going to be trigger shy about it. They have yet to separate from Kelly at this point. So you're like, well, what are they actually satisfied with, and have the goals, you know, changed? Are they just ready to settle into a malaise moving into the Big Ten and just kind of, you know, just being in the middle somewhere and just collecting checks? Let's hope not, because I think we all care about this football program, but you know, it all remains to be seen. But thanks, man. Appreciate the call. And we will talk to you soon.
Hey, what's Bruin Show? It's Mike from Santa Clarita. I probably don't have much to say that hasn't already been said today or will be said in this next week. But I want to take a minute and talk about the Big Ten. The last couple weeks, I've been kind of homebound. My wife just had our second son, so we've been laying low and just trying to recoup with that. But I've had the chance to watch a lot of football, and a couple of those teams have been Big Ten teams. Now, I should say I haven't been only watching football. I've been helping. But I've had a chance to watch a lot of football, and I knew the Big Ten was on a different level than the Pac-12 and specifically UCLA. But within the last couple weeks, I have seen teams that have just shown that they are leaps and bounds beyond where we're at. Granted, it's late in the season. It's the end of the season. So every team should look a little bit better, except us. But these Big Ten teams that are about to be our new teammates as early as next year, it's going to be jarring. And especially with what we saw last night, whether it be apathy or if a change is made, there's going to be attrition with losing players. So I guess my question is, what do we rather have? Apathy in terms of we don't have fans and all of our home games are going to be away games, kind of like the Chargers go through week in and week out? Or are we going to have the same coach and or a different coach, rather, and we're going to have attrition and we're going to get blown out every game? So we're kind of in this not exactly great catch-22 situation. And, I'm a little perturbed about what I'm about to see next year. So I think I've heard 6-6 be tossed around as best-case scenario, which is sad considering that it looks like we're finishing the season out 7-5 before a bowl game. In fact, we are 7-5. So not exactly great, and I think it would need to be a huge change in culture and coaching to make fans happy again. But, yeah, we're kind of cooked. Anyway, I've gone long. Go Bruins, no matter what, and appreciate you guys and all that you guys do. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Mike. And, of course, congratulations to you and the wife on the new child. We are very happy for you, and we appreciate all the photos you've been putting on the Slack channel of you and the kids, and that is wonderful. But as far as the Big Ten goes, I do agree with you that going into a conference with Michigan and Ohio State and what they have to offer is certainly going to be a daunting task. I still don't think that the Big Ten as a whole is any better team to team to team as what the Pac-12 has been the last number of years. And so whether it's, I think that obviously the top end is another layer that you have to break through. But the Bruins don't need to necessarily do that year after year to have successful seasons. And I think that if they were just at their historical level or even within, 25% of that, I think they would do just fine in the Big Ten. I really do. But the problem is that they haven't been that, and they haven't been that for more than a couple seasons of a row in the last 20 years. So then at what point, in a lot of your guys' resigned phone calls where we're not really like, a couple weeks ago after ASU, we were pissed, right? And we're like, get rid of him. This is not going to work. Oh, man, it's terrible. Now we're just all kind of resigned to like, well, I guess this is what we're dealing with, right? I guess this is what we're going to go into the Big Ten with and yada, yada, yada. And that is very frustrating to hear. And it's very frustrating to think about what it's going to be like going into next season, because you're right. If they do have Chip, there's no real reason to expect a big turnaround or a big season going to the Big Ten, which I think even a month ago we could have thought differently about that. But given the up and down nature of how they have played through his entire tenure, and especially the last couple of seasons, there's no reason to think that they will be overachievers next year. And then if they part ways with Chip, you're right, we're probably going to be taking some pretty tough losses, because it's probably going to be a lot of transition of the program back to another year zero situation. But I do think that if they can just get back to a UCLA team that is about where they are in their historic averages, they'll be plenty fine in the Big Ten, just like they would have been in the Pac-12. It's just they've been underachieving for so damn long. It's like, well, are they really underachieving anymore? Is this just where it is? And that's a depressing thought.
Hey, Jake, it's Leo, Long Beach. We missed you at yesterday's game. Hope you're feeling better. Thanks for putting on this post-game show for us listeners. What a roller coaster. So over it, so annoyed, confused. Don't know the timeline, but come on. Chip has to go, like, now. Go Bruins, and it just sucks that we probably won't even end up in the LA Bowl. Obviously, let's forget about Vegas. So, anyways, I think football season is definitely over. Have a great week, my dear friend, and I hope you feel better soon. Go Bruins.
Thank you very much, Leo. And, yeah, how do you get excited about this bowl game coming up? I mean, at the very least, if they would have struggled and got into the LA Bowl, at least it'd be like, you make the whole, and we get to go see him one more time and all that stuff, get to go to a nice stadium, all that. But this is just, it's just going to be depressing. But thank you, Leo. I appreciate your well wishes. And I am sorry I didn't get to the game. But, it turned out to be good timing for me, I guess, because then I didn't have to sit there at the game and witness that travesty. All right, I just got a couple more calls. Once again, thank you very much for a very depressing Bruin game. You guys still come out in full force, and just a ton of calls from you guys. So thank you very much. Of course, the hotline is 805-399-4WBS. Sega Reina Troy. But here's, we got a few more left here, so let's see who it is. I think it's Carrie.
Hi, this is Carrie. Hope everyone's doing okay. I'm bummed like everyone else. I really wish things were different. I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the fans. I feel bad that, you know, Latu didn't get a chance to get at least another sack, but I'm happy he got an interception. And I'm a little irritated by Chip's, I don't know if it's aloofness or arrogance, but I don't think he has his finger on the pulse of the team, and just didn't seem like he feels responsible for any of this. So that was just an irritating thing to hear at the post-game presser. But I don't know, maybe this might be enough to get him fired. You know, that may be the upside. I'd take Danton Lynn as interim coach. I'd trust him more than Chip in the bowl game. And I suspect others do too. But wondering what's going to happen with the portal, how many players are going to leave, particularly the defensive ones. I think you guys alluded to that last week. Or somebody did, maybe in the comments. But, yeah. Wishing the best things for the upcoming bowl game. Thanks so much for your show and allowing us to emote. And go Bruins.
Thank you once again, Carrie. And she actually called earlier in the week to talk about the Gonzaga game, but we'll put a pin in that for now. We'll see if that can get that call in for the main show when we talk about basketball a little bit more. But I don't know. I know what to do as far as, like, there's just so much more of a feeling of resignation after this loss and just kind of looking ahead as, you know, with really no sort of high hopes for the future, because we really have seen what this is now, and we've seen enough times, and it's come around enough times to really kind of, you know, really emphasize that, you know, this is what it is. And if we're going to keep going, well, that's what it's going to be in the future. So until there is a change, I don't know if you're, you know, what you can do to win back the fan base as a whole, because certainly it seems like you have, chased a lot of people out of the program with how it's running right now. All right, one more call, and I think it is someone that wants to gloat a little bit.
Suck it, Bruins. Go Bears.
And now Megan is safely back at home in Berkeley for now, for another few weeks, and she watched that whole game with me, and I think she would have been just as happy if the Bruins would have done what they're supposed to do and beat the damn Golden Bears. But they didn't, and so she is gloating a little bit, and I already miss her. She's up there. All right, let's wrap up this post game, the last post game for the Bruins regular season. I'm sure I'll do something for the bowl game, but you know, who the heck knows? Mike and I will be back on Tuesday to talk about whatever has happened with the fallout from this game, and I guess some basketball talk, and kind of go from there. It has been a long football season, and I am looking forward to kind of shifting gears to something else, I suppose. But I already miss Bruin football season, and it's not even completely gone yet, right? Because we have a relatively meaningless bowl game to follow. But that really has been the tragedy of this season, I think, the last couple weeks of this season, because we had games like ASU and games like Cal that should have been just gimmies where we could just enjoy our football team out at the Rose Bowl, and instead it turns into these giant program, you know, shaping tragedies that has us all lamenting it, and it's around the holiday season, and, you know, I have a cold, and we're trying to entertain guests, and gee whiz, you know, because we spend too much time caring about Bruin football, this is what is all over our thoughts, and it's not good thoughts, because it's a sad, sad state of affairs. So maybe that says something about us and where our priorities are, but I don't think so. I think we all have it straight. You know, Bruin football is important to us, and that's okay. And when it sucks like this, it doesn't feel good. So thanks a lot, Bruin football. for finishing on a strong note, I guess. All right, well, that's it for me. And I guess until next time, sometimes it is truly hard to be a Bruin. Hang in there and hope for better times.
Good evening.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
That was the What's Bruin Show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, Rob, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.